Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is two keys to creating results, and the numbers to call for coaching on any area of your life are 866-254-1579. It's toll free, 254-1579, 866. And from outside the United States, you can reach the show on 001-760-918-4300. And as always, want to set the table by just talking a little bit about what I call the language of results. And those of you who read the coaching tips, I wrote about this recently. You can read coaching tips at geniuscatalyst.com. And in the work that I do, one of the things that fascinates me is why is it that some people can go out and they can just create results and pretty much anything they decide they want to do, they're off there creating the results. And other people, they talk about, well, I'd like to do this and I want to do this, and they can't do it. And if you look through the world of coaching and personal development, a lot of people have answers to that. And some say, well, it's because some people are better than others, or some people have higher self-esteem than others, or some people are more action-oriented than others, or some people, I don't know, are taller or shorter or richer or poorer or healthier. And all of those things, all of those externals are interesting. They're interesting notions. But what I've seen in my own work is that one of the key differences between the producers, which is the people who produce results, and the explainers, which is the people who have wonderful explanations for why they don't get results and why they haven't gotten the results and why they can't get results and why they will get the results and why they should get the results, is actually to do with language. And specifically, the language that they use when they talk about what they want. And think about it. If you wanted to use language, if you wanted to be able to use your speaking and use your writing to produce results, what are some of the different kinds of language that you can use? And let's say, okay, let's say that I want you to come on holiday with me. And so I'm going to tell you about where we're going. And I have to say, it is beautiful. When you first sink your feet into the sand, you're going to be amazed at the warmth and coolness simultaneously. And it's to do with the ocean. And the beach, they call it pink, but I think of it as almost gold. And the way the sun glistens off it is just phenomenal. And I can tell you it's going to be good for you too, because you're going to get a chance to relax. You're going to open up to new and creative ideas. You're going to get, I mean, there's all sorts of health benefits to just being away from the daily grind for a little while. Do you want to come? Now, I'm going to guess that for a lot of people, they're going, yeah, but until I said, do you want to come? Nothing could happen. In other words, compelling is a description or an explanation of something that you want might be. It doesn't actually compel action. What it does is it does produce a state you might call a readiness state, an inclination to act. But without something else, without an actual request, without an actual, do you want to come? Nothing can happen. And the problem with really being great at describing things and explaining them is often we use that same sort of storytelling ability to create stories about why we can't have what we want, or explanations about why we aren't going to get there. So I'm going to talk about some of the different kinds of language throughout the show. But again, if you want to call in, this is a show about coaching. So it's a show about you and it's about your life. So if you want to transform your life, numbers to call 866-254-1579, or from outside the United States, 760-918-4300. Let's go to Barbara in Minnesota. Barbara, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, I'm trying to figure out how I can transform my life through a divorce transition.
Okay. So and forgive me if this is ignorant and politically insensitive. Is a divorce transition like a divorce?
Well, yeah. I mean, yes, it is. Exactly.
Okay. Okay. No. It's just because I don't know. I mean, you know, it's like a, somebody.
Well, I'm just trying to get my head around it still, so.
Okay. Okay. No. And look, the way we talk, that's what the show is about really today, is how the way we talk about something can make it easier or more difficult to create what we want.
Okay.
So let me start with this. If your life was transformed, if a miracle happened while you slept and while you dreamt tonight, and your life was transformed in just the way you would like it to be transformed, what would be the first thing you would notice when you woke up in the morning that would let you know that the miracle had happened?
I think I would just feel lighter.
Okay, great. And then when you got out of bed with this kind of lighter feeling, what would be one of the next things that you would notice that would let you know, I think a miracle has happened. I think I've transformed. I think my life is different now. What would it be? Would it be something you saw? Would it be something that you heard? Would it be more of a feeling?
It would be more of a feeling. Feeling balanced, grounded.
Lighter, balanced, and grounded. Okay. And what would be something, just give me, because at some point you might start to question, well, I feel lighter and I feel balanced and I feel grounded, but has the miracle really happened? What would be something that you would do that maybe the old you wouldn't have done that would let you know that the miracle had happened while you slept?
I think it's a more take charge.
So more take charge. So what might that look
more,
like? What might
be
one situation that you would notice yourself doing something, you go, did I just do that? Wow.
Yeah. I think I would just feel, I guess, like in command.
Okay.
You know, more leadership in myself and in my
purpose. All right, let me ask
it.
Cool. Let me ask it a little bit differently. How would... what's the name of one of your friends?
Andrea.
Andrea. How would Andrea know? What would Andrea see in you or in your life that would get her to say to you, has a miracle happened? Has your life transformed? What would she notice?
I think she'd notice I was calm and centered and fully, I don't know, feeling competent.
Okay, so there's actually, and what I'm getting, and I want to check this, is that actually when you talk about transforming your life, there's actually not a circumstance specifically that you're talking about or a behavior specifically. It's a way of being.
Uh-huh.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So if the question was, how can I transform my life through a divorce transition? I mean, the question, we could ask it just as accurately and aptly with how can I transform my life through a marriage? How can I transform my life while I'm going through a death? How can I transform my life while I'm going through my final exams at college? If what the transformation is about creating lighter, calmer, more balanced, grounded feelings and a greater sense of being in command and a greater sense of confidence in your life, you can use any situation to create that. And the simplest way to do it is to just begin to bring those feelings into that situation. So as your, what are some times in your life where you naturally feel sort of calmer and more balanced?
Oh, boy.
Can you remember a time where you felt that way? You can go way back if you want. When I was 6 years old, I remember.
Yeah, I can think as a kid.
Okay, that's
riding
fine.
Riding my bike around, being out in it, yeah.
Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your thumb and your middle finger, and I want you to touch them together. Okay, and I want you to go back to that time when you were a kid riding your bike around. And I want you to let that feeling spread through your body like a color, going up to the top of your head, down to the tips of your toes, all the way through your body, just filling up with that feeling. What would you describe that feeling as? Calm, free, balanced? What's the word for that feeling?
Free.
Free. Okay. And can you think of a time when you felt confident? I mean, it might have been something like tying my shoes. I know how to do that.
Yes.
Yeah? You can think of a specific time?
Sure.
Okay. So again, I want you to do with your thumb and middle finger touching, I want you to go back to that time in your mind so that you're seeing what you saw, hearing what you heard, and feeling that confident feeling, but noticing how that is affected and changed, because it's not just confident, it's also sort of that free. It's a free and confident feeling. Can you feel that?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, can you think of a time where you felt light? It might have been, it may have been because there was nothing particularly heavy going on, or it may have been even in the midst of a heavy situation. One of the lightest feelings I can ever remember, biggest releases.
Yes,
was,
I can.
Yo, you got one. You don't even need me.
Right.
Okay, great. That's the one. So go ahead and touch your thumb and middle finger together and just go back to that time. So you got that lightness mixing in with that freedom, mixing in with that confidence. Okay, and you've got that light, free, confident feeling, and let that hold, whatever that new feeling is, that sort of super feeling, which is light, free, and confident. Just let that spread through your whole body. So it feels really nice. And I want you to just stay with that feeling. And feeling this way now, keeping your thumb and middle finger together, I just want you to imagine what it would be like if that feeling just doubled. And if it doubled again. And one more time. And can you just feel what that feels like?
Yes.
Okay. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do in a minute. So you take your thumb and middle finger around. You can off and sort of shake and just kind of come back. And I just want to say that the thing about our emotional feelings is they are always, 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 but only always a reaction to our thoughts. So when we're thinking about certain things in a certain way, we will feel one way. If we think about the same things in a different way, we will feel another way. No situation has an inherent feeling. Okay? People say, oh, well, moving house is stressful. Well, no, moving house isn't stressful, but a lot of people get into stress while they move house. Do you get the distinction between those two things? Okay, so what we're going to do is this is just an exploration. This is just for fun. We're going to see what it might be like to go through a divorce transition feeling light, free, and confident. So what I want you to do is I want you to go ahead and put your thumb and your middle finger back together and close your eyes and just go back to that feeling until it's just swirling around inside you again. You feel it?
Yep.
Okay, and in this place, I want you to just, in your mind, I want you to imagine dealing with the different things that you're going to be dealing with through the divorce or that you've dealt with and how it would be different to deal with all that from this place of lightness, with this sense of freedom, with this confidence. And just really notice what's different. It's okay if some stuff's the same, but what's different as you look at it from this feeling? From this place. What do you notice?
I can hang on to that and it feels better.
And here,
feel,
yeah, go ahead.
Stressful. It just doesn't feel stressful and all consuming.
Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Yeah, it would be okay to go through and get divorced and not have to be all stressed and consumed by it?
Yep.
That's kind of neat, isn't it? I got nothing else. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you, Michael.
You're very welcome. This is the thing is, you know, I remember doing a similar exercise with a friend. It was when I was writing Feel Happy Now, which is really a book about, they made me call it Feel Happy Now. I'm going to come out. I wanted to call it Feel Better Now because it's really a book about coping with anxiety and stress and depression. And I was talking to a friend and they said, you know, what are you going to write? Because You Can Have What You Want was my first book and it did really well. And what's the follow-up? And, you know, a lot of business people really liked it. And I said, well, it's this book on overcoming depression and anxiety and stress. And they were like, oh, like, what do you mean? Oh, and he said, oh, well, I mean, you know, that's all nice. I'm more interested in practical stuff. And so I said to him, I said, well, look, you do a little experiment with me. And he said, oh, okay, I'll do a little experiment. And listen, if you want to call in, we've got a couple lines free, 866-254-1579, and go back to the phones in about just a couple of minutes. But I said, do this little experiment for me. I want you to just think about a situation in your life that's bugging you a bit. And he kind of, and I could see on his face. You can see when somebody kind of goes there. And just I just wanted to go there for a second. So as soon as he did, I went, "Wah!" And you know, he kind of looked at me like I was insane, which worked because I just wanted him to not get lost in that thought. And then I asked him to think about a time where he had felt totally loving and totally loved. And he went back to that time. And I could see, again, you can see it on someone's face when they're really going there, when they're not just playing along, but they're really getting in touch with those feelings, those wonderful feelings of just what it feels like to just love someone and to be loved by them and how wonderful that feels. And as he did that, I just put my hand on his right shoulder. And it's what we call an anchor in NLP. It's just an association between a touch and a feeling. It's the same thing we did just a moment ago where I asked Barbara to touch her thumb and her middle finger together. And then as I held my hand on his shoulder and as he felt those feelings, I asked him to once again think about the thing that had been bothering him, but with these new feelings attached. And it was really interesting to watch because it was almost like one side of his face went a bit red and the other went pale and then the other one went red and the first side went pale and then both sides kind of went balanced out. And he opened his eyes and he seemed really serene. And I said, "What happened?" And he said, "Nothing happened." And then he stopped for a minute and he said, "But everything's different." And it turned out what he'd been thinking about was his daughter, and he'd been having some trouble with his teenage daughter. And what he'd thought about was how much he loved her as a little girl. And when he connected to those feelings, something inside him just went, "Oh God, it's the same person." And he just saw her differently. And because he saw her differently, he had a different experience. Nothing had changed on the outside, but everything was different. And that's transformation. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't also create results. And that's what today's show is about. You can create change on the outside too, but it's so much easier when you're not trying to change the outside so that you can feel better on the inside. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Sharon in Oregon. Sharon, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, thank you. I'm trying to figure out a career change.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, kind of, a real good thought of maybe going into massage school.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to figure out how to go about getting into it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, okay. So have you, and I'm not looking for, there's not a right answer here. I'm looking for just where you're at. Have you decided that this is what you want to do, or do you want to play with it for a while?
The last couple of days, I would say it's more of a gut feeling like, yeah, you know, this is really what I want to do. It's not so much as, because last 3 years I've been going through a big transformation and stuff and, you know, just been dealing with all that other things. And I knew I wanted to do something different, but I kind of just let it go until I got everything else situated.
Because
I really wasn't sure what kind of going back to school I wanted to do.
But I don't know if you may have heard me talk about this before if you listen to the show a lot, but one of the things that I'm a big believer in is flirting before dating and dating before marriage.
Okay.
And I usually apply that more to jobs than I do to women or men or whoever it is that you date. because most people, when they talk about, they get that. When you talk about people, of course you're going to do it that way.
Uh-huh.
You know, you don't really, usually you wouldn't walk up to, go into a bar and go, right, will you marry me?
Right.
You know, you're usually going to go through some steps. But yet when people think about making changes in their career or doing big things like that, they usually go, okay, I need to know the right one. And I need to get it all set before I change. So before we go on our first lunch date, before I sit down and have a drink with you, I need to know, are we going to have 3 kids?
Okay.
You know, you wouldn't do that, right?
No,
tell me you
all.
Wouldn't do that, Sharon. Okay. So in the same way, if you're interested in maybe getting into massage therapy as a line of work, the first thing I would do is I'd play with it a bit.
Okay.
In other words, I might talk to some massage therapists. I might actually maybe, you know, here's how I would do it because I just like getting massaged. I would probably hire over the course of maybe a month four different massage therapists. And if you're thinking like of being someone who comes out to people's homes, I would get ones to come to people to come to my home. If you're somebody who wants to work in a place, I would go to four different places. And during the massage, I would chat to them about it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what do you love about this? You know, what don't you like? You know, how did you get into it? And deliberately, you know, just chat away. You don't have to tell them what you're doing, or you can. That's fine. You can say, hey, I'm interested in getting into this. What, you know, how did you get into it? And get a sense from that of what the reality of it might be. Because the reality of it will be, and I can tell you one thing right now, some of it you'll really like and some of it you won't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be true of anything.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So given that it's not, is this going to be perfect? It's just, what would this really be like? That would be a first step on beginning to explore it. And then, you know, you might, if you know, do you already have massage training?
No, I don't.
Okay, so that might be, you might look for a weekend course. And
okay.
And what you might find from that weekend course is, oh my God, this is great. It, like going on a first date and going, you know what, this guy's kind of nice. Or you might find, oh my God, this is horrible. I have to stand and stick my fingers into sweaty people all day. Ugh. You know, and uh-huh. and it's, you'll, the, so in other words, if you let yourself discover it, it will become more and more apparent to you how to create it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Definitely.
Okay. Because again, the thing about doing it that way is it, you don't have to worry about, God, am I right? Should I really be doing this? Is this the right thing? Maybe I better hold back. Because by the time you're actually ready to make the jump, it won't be a jump.
Right.
You'll be so grounded in it and you'll so know what it's about that it will just be a logical next step.
Okay. It makes a lot of sense.
Brilliant.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Not a problem at all.
And
we're going to go back. We're going to, if you're online, hang on. I'm going to do everything I can to get as many of you on as I can as we're coming up. I just want to talk a little bit more about this idea. I talked about the language of results and how one of the things that people do is explain. And that doesn't really create results, though it can create a sort of a readiness. And another thing that people do with language is they get into demands and complaints. Right. So if I want you to come on holiday with me and I'm going to use a demand is just a request with a threat behind it. And the threat can be spoken or unspoken. But so like somebody might say to you, come on a holiday with me. And the implied threat is, or our relationship is over. Or, hey, buy this product or you'll never make money, lose weight or be happy ever again. Or do what I want you to do or I'll make your life a living hell from this day forward. And of course, if they actually put it that way, most of us wouldn't get involved in that. We wouldn't buy into that. But because people don't put it that way, because that second half of the sentence is more invisible than that, we often don't get that, in fact, no request has been made at all. What's been made is a demand. And one of the number one reasons I find that people struggle to ask for what they want is because they think that it's got to be a demand, or they think back to a time where something was demanded of them and how much they didn't like it. A demand is not a request. Now, a demand is a request with an implied threat. A complaint is a request that's disguised as like an observation or a comment. And so whereas a demand comes from the sense that, you know, I've got one up on you so I can make you do what I want. So there's this sense that I've got power or control over you, even if that power is just the power to make you miserable. A complaint tends to come from the opposite place. It's like, you're better than me, and I'm powerless, and I can't actually do anything about this, but maybe if I can make you see how unhappy this all makes me, you'll do something about it for me. And I know you can come up with times in your life where complaining or demanding or explaining or describing worked for you. Great. My experience is that results can get produced way faster and way easier without spending too much time on any of the above. And in the second half of the show, as well as taking more of your calls, I'm going to talk more about that. We are going to be right back after this break. Have fun, learn heaps. I'll talk to you in a couple minutes.
4300.
Real strategies for real change. This is Supercoach with Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about ways to create results and specifically the language of results, but we're also just talking with you about how to transform your life and how to get more of what you want. And let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Mary in Lexington, Texas. Mary, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael.
I just want to apologize up front. I've stopped saying the name of where somebody is in a state because about a year ago, I had somebody call in and I said, hey, it's Sandy from Boulder, Colorado. And it turned out she was like on the run from someone. So,
oh, my gosh.
So I'm hoping I didn't do that. But, you know, given that I may have just messed up your life, Mary, how can I help you today?
That's okay. I'm just so pleased to talk to you. This is just wonderful. I'm calling about my husband. He's almost 55, and he is a very talented musician.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a master's degree in theory composition. He started out as a drummer. He's now a composer. And we've actually put together two CDs ourselves and put them on a website, and et cetera. But he's never been one to push himself to... and that's not the right word. I would say promote himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very much of an introvert. He just, you know, doesn't have the personality to put himself forward. So other than, you know, making his music and everything, he really hasn't had much success with it. He's not working in the field of music right now.
Okay, so what could I do for you? How could I be of service?
Well, is there something else I can do to help him? I've helped him with a lot of this. We've kind of let it lie for a while, but should I try to help him more, or should I just accept that maybe that it's just going to be something he does because he loves and not necessarily to succeed in? I mean, he seems depressed about it sometimes, but...
So here's my first answer. And I want you to understand that I'm going to say something very different to you than I might say to him if he was phoning me.
Right, and he wouldn't phone you, so that's why
I'm... No, that's fine.
And
I'm not going to... But in other words, my question for you is, what would you love to do? You know, in other words, I get that you really care about this man.
Yes, very much.
So what would be for you, how would you like to express that caring and love for him? What would feel wonderful to you to do for him?
Well, I would like to help him achieve a measure of success, but I don't know if he's going to follow up on it because he hasn't before, and I don't know what's the best way I can go about doing that.
Okay. And if you did that for him, if you did that, let's just run a couple of scenarios. I'm not saying whether you should do it, shouldn't do it.
Right.
But if you did that and suddenly he's getting all these calls from people, hey, can you, we love that track. Can you play that on our show? Hey, we love that. Can we stick that in our movie? Hey, that's fantastic. Can you come and play this gig? Would he go, oh my goodness, thank you, Mary. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Or would he say, meddling woman? In whatever way he communicates. I'm not trying to put that on him. I lived in Texas for a little while. I just met a few, you know?
I don't know. I don't know if he would be too anxious to play a gig because he did that so much of his young life. But, you know, like music for movies and I know, see, that's very competitive, so I don't know if he has the drive to compete like that.
So here's this is what I hear, and this is what I'll say.
Okay.
Okay. It sounds like there's a great, 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 loving, transformative conversation for you to have with your husband, and it's probably not one conversation. You know, it's probably a series of conversations. And they're about just, hey, you know what? And if I'm putting words in your mouth, that's fine. You don't have to speak them. But hey, I'm not sure if you know. I hope you know. I love you no matter what. I love you whether you go out there and sell a million records or whether you play this music for me, because I love to hear it. And I want you to know, I've got so much energy around this. I've got so much enthusiasm around it. I would love to get out there and start promoting your stuff. And I don't have to. You know, what do you want? You know, what would you like for the rest of, you know, because, you know, you draw a line at and put a B on one end and D on the other end and draw a line for where you're at with that. You're probably more than halfway. What do you want to do with the rest of the line? And that can be a great conversation. If that conversation is had without any, you need to go out there and do something or you need to change anything. If that conversation is had from a place of love.
Right.
That's a wonderful conversation. I mean, I had that kind of conversation with my family. I was writing in Supercoach, which isn't out in the States yet, but before the British edition came out, there's a section in there about what's their dream, about finding out what the people around you, the people you really care about, what they really want. And I was writing this and I suddenly thought, do you know what? I'm not sure the last time I asked my own family about it. And I went and I asked my wife and, you know, her dreams were not a shock to me, but, you know, they were about where we went as a family and some things that she wanted to do in her life. And, you know, with my son, it was about the college he'd go to and the car he'd drive. And with my middle daughter, it was about, you know, becoming an actress. And with my youngest daughter, she was like the clearest of them all. She absolutely knew I want to do two things with my life, Daddy. I want to be a mermaid and I want to be a doctor.
Right.
I want to go to med school. It was like, great. Got it. And those conversations are just, they brought us all closer together. And it didn't matter what they said. And with a couple of places, I've been able to help. I've been able to get involved. And with a couple, it just helped that I asked.
Right.
So would you be willing to have that conversation?
Yes. I mean, I've already told them that it doesn't matter what he decides to do ever, because I love him no matter what. I've already told him that. But I think that's a good idea to just, you know, approach it from the what do you dream about? Because, you know, we talk about his music some and everything, but I guess I just need to ask him flat out, you know, what do you really want?
And just be open to listen.
Right.
You know, and that maybe it's not anything grand, and maybe it is. But that if you can create that space for him and hold that space for him where he knows that he's loved whichever way he goes, he might be able to find that in himself, because a lot of people, they haven't looked for a while.
Right.
And that's an incredibly loving and incredibly transformative thing to do. So you can, you know, I'm not sure how useful it is to tell your husband that a random radio show host thinks that he's a lucky man, but you can tell him from me if it'll help.
Well, I think he is. I've told him about you before and that I actually wish he could talk to you, but I figured it was up to me to call. So, but I certainly appreciate it.
It's an absolute pleasure, Marion. Please call us back. Let us know. And if he ever wants to call in, I'd love to talk with him.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Michael.
Thank you, Marion.
Bless you.
Bless you. And, you know, I don't know what to say after that, except we're all living our lives. You know, everybody's fighting the good fight. Everybody is up to what they're up to. And often the difference between somebody who's really creating results and thriving and someone who isn't is just a bit of clarity. And in order to create that clarity, sometimes first you need to create space. And in order to create that space, sometimes it's really helpful to have somebody who's willing to hold it for you until you can hold it for yourself. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Arlene in New York. Arlene, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. You know what? As you began the show, I just wanted to thank you because it just stirred a vision that I couldn't even sit down to begin to see for myself before.
Mm-hmm.
And as I try to think about what that would be more, I'm finding myself listening to the show and just being free to stumble,
mm-hmm.
and yet be joyful in that seeming stumble. So I realized I might not have much to say to you, and I'm kind of disappointed because here's this great opportunity to be with somebody, you know, who's a coach and all that. But I just wanted to thank you for that opportunity, because I got a glimpse of a future for myself that I've been having such a difficult time with putting my fingers on. And I just had to say that.
Oh, thank you, Arlene. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the call. Thank you.
Yeah. So thank you again.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. One of the things I remember somebody once saying to me, they were very surprised. They hired me for a one-off breakthrough session. I don't do many of those anymore, but when I started out, I used to do a lot of them. And they came in and they said, well, you're not doing coaching at all. I said, what do you mean? And they said, well, all you're doing is telling stories and asking questions. I thought, okay. And when I think about what it is that those of us who are in this kind of line of work do, or at least what we're aiming to do, it really comes down to what causes someone to transform is never going to be what I say. It's going to be what you hear. And because of that, I don't have to be real careful about always trying to say exactly the right thing, because you're always going to hear what you hear. And I have an amazing amount of faith, which has just evolved over years and years and years of doing this, that you'll hear what you need to hear. And if I keep showing up and I keep talking and I keep asking questions, then more and more of the time, and if you keep showing up and you keep listening and you keep asking questions, you're going to hear what you need to hear to transform. And that's what it's all about for me. Let's go right back to the phones. Let's go to, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Let's go to Rose in New Jersey. Rose, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I get off track. I have a business. I love what I do. I design gift baskets. And it seems like sometimes I feel like maybe I should do the same thing, but I guess the way I market myself, I'm like, well, this isn't working. Let me try this. Well, this isn't working. Let me try that. And then I do an event, and I get great response, and, you know, people purchase from me, and I'm really happy, and then everything slows down. So then I go, okay, let me try this.
Okay.
And I feel like I'm constantly changing what I'm doing to I guess, announce to the world and market myself, and it gets tiring.
Okay, I get that. I get that. So there's two things that I'd love to pick up on in there. And the first is what you just said, that doing it that way is tiring. And that would be true for anyone who tried to do it that way. That's not a Rose problem. That's a human being problem. That if you're continually trying to adapt what you do to the marketplace, which is what marketers tell you you're supposed to do, then it's tiring to do that tap dance. And one of the real shifts, and I think this is one of the most positive things that's come out of the work that the Hicks do and the Abraham work and the law of attraction stuff, it's teaching people to be willing to be a little bit more of what do they call those things? A lighthouse. You know, instead of running up and down the beach going, hey, I'm over here. No, I'm over here. Hey, I'm over here. Just be the damn lighthouse. Shine your light and people will find you.
Okay.
So that's one thing. Another way that I found very useful to think about it is it's the difference between finding different ways of talking about it as opposed to different ways of being it. So the metaphor that I'll often use when I'm talking to people about marketing is a multi-handed coffee cup. A multi-handled coffee cup. Multi-handed coffee cup is just kind of surreal. And the coffee is the same. The coffee is you. It's your product. It's your service. That doesn't change. But you know that you've got your way of thinking about it, and that's the handle that's pointed towards you. That's the easiest way for you to get a handle on it, for you to pick it up.
Okay.
But then it's also you put handles on so that people who think in terms of, well, life is a struggle. Well, maybe there's a handle for them where it's talked about in terms of how this will help them overcome struggle. And then there might be other people out there for whom, you know, the way that they see the world and the way that they see things is it's all practical. Is this going to help? And then for them, the handle is all the features and all the benefits and why it'll help. And then for other people, they just want to know that they're going to be looked after if there's a problem. And so for them, the handle that you put on it is about that. The coffee doesn't ever have to change.
Okay.
The container doesn't even have to change. You're just putting different handles on it to help people pick up on it easier.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So that's really, you know, I would just start from there and just be willing. One of the things I from time to time coach coaches, and I've got a coaching school that I'll talk about before the end of the show that is starting next year in New York. And one of the things that makes all the difference in the world, and I've seen this again and again between the coaches who thrive and the ones who struggle, is the ones who try to be all things to all people and make themselves more like that or more like that because that's going to sell better or that's going to sell better, invariably struggle. Or if they don't struggle, they give up out of tiredness, like you were saying. They just get tired doing it that way. The ones who really take the time to figure out, okay, why me? In other words, what is it that I bring to this, or what is it about my product, or what is it about my service that is unique to me or to this product or to this service? It might be a slightly slower build. It isn't always, but it might be a slightly slower build. But their potential is unlimited because they are the only place that people can go to get that thing. So they're no longer competing in the same way against everyone else. And your price goes up when there's less of you. You know, one of the main reasons that, you know, one of my coaches told me this, one of the main reasons that a baseball player, you know, particularly a pitcher, gets paid so much money is because there's only about 100 people on the planet who can throw that little ball 100 miles an hour and hit that spot. Mm-hmm. If everyone could do that, they wouldn't get paid so much. And one of the ways that you create that uniqueness in your presentation isn't by working on your presentation, but it's just really by finding that for yourself, by not trying to do the dance and just going, hey, this is what I do. Let me find my people.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Rose.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Just before I go back to the phones, I want to make sure I at least touch on what the show is supposed to be about, which is the two things that create results. And it's really the two kinds of language. And one is a request. You know, there's a request, and a request, I talked about complaints and demands, and a request is different because it's explicit. Hey, this is what I want. This is what I'm requesting. And I'm making it to the person who can do something about it. I'm not saying to you, hey, would you sort my wife out? I'm saying to my wife, hey, I'd like this to change. It's control-free. This is why it isn't a demand. I can make a request of you, and if I know that you're free to say yes or no or offer something else up, there's no demand there, and people feel that. They feel when they're being asked something that there's no obligation behind. And sometimes like a, you know, if a charity or a nonprofit calls, or you can feel the difference. Sometimes they call and they genuinely, really, you can feel, wow, hey, they want some help. They want support. And maybe I will today, maybe I won't. But wow, I'm glad there's people out there doing that wonderful thing. And sometimes you get those calls, you must have gotten these calls, where they phone up and they go, you know, are you aware that 900 polar bear cubs have died in the last minute? And you go, no, I wasn't aware of that. Well, it's your fault. And if you don't give us money, they'll keep dying. And even though you want to help the little polar bear cubs, you're kind of pissed off that they did that to you. And it's the same thing. A request is just a request. It's, hey, this is what's going on. This is what I'd like. Will you do that? It's a very simple language. The other kind of language that moves people to action and that creates results is a promise. And a promise is just a declaration that you will do something, that you will get something done. And people believe your promise because A, you mean it. B, they've heard from other people that you do what you say you'll do. B, C, I forget where I am in the alphabet. There's a sense of commitment about it. And D, you actually take the action. And one of my favorite, I wrote this in a tip a couple of weeks ago, but one of my favorite examples of how a promise can drive a project forward was it came from a speech John F. Kennedy gave. And he gave it the day before he died. And he talked about Frank O'Connor, the Irish writer. And he said, Frank O'Connor, the Irish writer, tells in one of his books how as a boy, he and his friends would make their way across the countryside. And when they came to an orchard wall that seemed too high and too doubtful to try and too difficult to permit their voyage to continue, they took off their hats and tossed them over the wall. And then they had no choice but to follow them. This nation has tossed its cap over the wall of space, and we have no choice but to follow it. Whatever the difficulties, they will be overcome. Whatever the hazards, they must be guarded against. With the vital help of the Aerospace Medical Center, which is where he was given the speech, with the help of all those who labor in the space endeavor, with the help and support of all Americans, we will climb this wall with safety and with speed, and we shall then explore the wonders on the other side. And he was killed next day. And we did land someone on the moon before the end of the decade, just like he promised. And that's something that you can all use for yourself. You just choose a project where you want to create results. And you decide that while you're working on this project, you're not going to use excuses. You're not going to explain away why things can or can't be done. You're not going to complain. You're not going to make demands. But every day you're going to do one thing. You're going to make one, at least one bold request, which is just asking somebody for something that's going to help them move things forward. And you're going to make a promise that's going to move the project forward. And you keep repeating that. You just keep making requests and making promises and meaning it. You're going to create the result that you want. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Teresa. Teresa in Massachusetts. Welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. That was a great point that you just made. I need help with getting out of my own way. I keep constantly putting up roadblocks. I put it out there. I say, I'm going to do this. But it's fear that is standing in my way,
mm-hmm.
and I can't knock that barrier down.
Right. That would definitely make you human. So we got that established.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do. Right.
Yeah. Only in some areas of my life. In other, you know, in a certain area of my life, I have a inability to trust people. But on the other hand, I work with people. But when it comes for to laying out my vulnerabilities, I just push everybody away.
Okay, so let me ask, is there a particular person that you would like to get over your fear of, or is it really much more just a general thing?
Just a general.
Okay. So what for you would be just the right size challenge? And what I mean by that is, if I was working with you one-on-one and we had longer, and, you know, this is a radio show, so I don't, you know, we
right.
have to do what we can do. But,
right.
you know, I would be finding for you little steps that you could take, you know, like
uh-huh.
little things that you could do that would begin to build that muscle. So I might say to you, for example, okay, Teresa, would you commit in the next week to going out and introducing yourself to three people who you don't already know? And you would tell me either, yes, I will, no, I won't, or I'll do two. So if that was the request I was making of you.
I do that all the time because I work with the public, but it's when I'm working, it's fine.
So then, okay, so this is what I'm trying to get to. That's perfect response.
Uh-huh.
What for you would be just the right size challenge? What would be the thing I could say to you right now, the thing I could ask you to do that you would get both that slight rush of fear, but also that knowing, you know what, that, yeah, I'm going to do that.
You know what it is because I am different. I know that I'm different. I'm very spiritual, and it's hard for me to be myself in front of people, certain people.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? We're far and few between. And when I meet somebody that's spiritual, I mean, it's great. You know, it's
okay. So what, you know? So, and again, I'm only doing this because of time. What would be the request? What would be the thing?
What would be the thing that, okay, to be truthful about what I believe in.
Perfect. So that's what I'm going to ask you to do this week. We're coming to the end of the show, so I just want to give you this, Teresa, and you can take it with you as you go.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to just go out, and I want you to find one person this week who
mm-hmm.
you have not told about what you believe and share your beliefs with them. Are you willing to do that?
Yes.
Fantastic. That's all you have to do. Thank you so much, Teresa. Thank you so much to all of you for listening. We're going to be back with a brand new show next week. Until then, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you then. Bye-bye for now.